if you're not used to setting in a church service such as this, I want you to, on purpose, pay attention. We certainly want everyone to get the spiritual attention that God would have for them today. So, young people, if you're not used to it, just sit very still and listen very carefully. It may be hard for some to believe, but somebody here today desperately, desperately needs what's about to be said. To them, it's a life or death matter. So please, please listen carefully. Matthew chapter 14, find verse number 22 if you will. Then stand with me if you would. Matthew 14, verse number 22, I'm going to read out loud and you can follow along silently. Let me tell you the title of the sermon. It's called, How Storms Help Us. How Storms help us. I tell you what, Brother Edwards, I'm going to have you come up and read the scripture,
yes,
if you will. Verse 22 through 33, if you will.
Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this great service. Thank you so much for the outpouring of love and compassion for people. I think, Lord, it's exactly the way you would want it to be done. Thank you so much. Lord, I pray that you please just help our preacher and empower him in a special way as he speaks this morning. May you use him in a great way to be a help and encouragement to your people. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I call the sermon, How Storms Help Us. As you know, Hurricane Florence has now done the damage that it will do here in our area, but yet it continues. We now face that follows a storm of this sort. We know originally a Category 4 storm with 145 mile an hour winds, 30 inches of rainfall. Get this, and I said this Wednesday night, 10 trillion gallons of water dumped on the Carolinas, of mass flooding and devastation, the water, the wind. Last count, I think, there have been 44 deaths associated with the storm. The number of injuries will be just kind of uncountable. You'll never be able to figure out exactly how many people were hurt. Maybe $5 billion worth of loss as a result of the storm. But I think God has a way of helping us when we face storms. I'm going to retell the story that we just read here from Matthew chapter 14. Jesus tells his disciples to get onto a ship, and then they're instructed to go to the other side of the sea. He went then to a mountain to pray. Evening came upon them, The ship was in the middle of the sea, and a storm hit. They were fearful. When that storm hit, here comes Jesus, walking on the water. At his first appearance, it created fear among the disciples. They thought, oh no, we're in a storm. Now there's a spirit out there. And they're a little worried about the whole thing. And then Jesus spoke to them. And he said in Matthew 14:27, it says, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Peter, who always had something to say, Peter spoke up right away and said, "If that's you, Jesus, could I walk out to you?" And Jesus let him. I think Peter would have probably taken a couple steps whether Jesus let him or not, because if you know Peter's personality, and he took a few steps out toward Jesus. Of course, if you've heard the story, Peter began to sink. Jesus reaches out and saves him. Jesus and Peter then step into the ship, and the storm stopped. The Bible says in Matthew 14:33, "Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now, he was the Son of God before he stopped that storm, and he was the Son of God before he came walking on the water. But for some reason, they believed even more after they watched how he helped during the storm. He deserved their worship. He deserved it before the storm, during the storm, and after the storm. But it's an amazing thing that the storm created something spiritual after it stopped. I hope that you and I would want to accomplish the same, both in our lives and in the lives of others. After the storm, I think there's a way to behave. After the storm, I think there are things that we can glean from it. You know, folks, all humans, everybody goes through storms. And we may even question why certain storms come upon us. And now I'm talking about a physical storm like Florence and or just the storms of life. Now, I can't answer all the questions as to why we face the storms that we do. But I think if you ask God wise, make sure if you ask God why, you just have the right attitude about it. I don't think that we need to approach God in anger. I don't think we need to approach God. I wouldn't approach God with doubt, because God's good all the time. It is what He is. But I think God allows some storms in our lives because there are so many helps involved with storms. Helps for us as Christians. Helps for others. And let me remind you of something, folks. A smile on the face does not mean there's not been some sort of a storm hit the heart. I look around and I look at people that have been, what they've been through in the last week. It's terrible, but they're smiling and they're singing and they're here. That does not mean their heart's not heavy. It does not mean that hey, look, there are people that are going to leave here and drive out of here in just a little while and go home to devastation. But God is working. I would say this. Be very cautious of your behavior in a storm. You know, it's not usually the storm that destroys us. It's how we react to the storm. It's not the storm that does the great destruction. It's how we behave and act as a result of the storm. I'm going to give you some very, very practical thoughts about the storm and helps that are made available to us as a result of the storm. Then at the very end of the sermon, I want to talk to us really quickly about how we can help each other and help some others as a result of the storm. How do we get helped in the storms that come, whether it's Hurricane Florence or some other storm in life? There's somebody that went through the hurricane this week and you faced flooding, but yet there was somebody else that received word about some part of their life and a storm has hit them. Oh, it wasn't floods, winds, and hurricane. It was heartache. Heartache out there. They're all storms. They're just storms. How does God help us? First of all, let me tell you this. One thing that will help you through any storm in life is to realize that God has purposes. God has purposes. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Folks, sometimes we just don't have to know why. You say, well, preacher, what am I supposed to do? Just trust God. I wish I could say to everybody that's hurting, here's why. I can't. But I know who God is. And we can trust Him 100%. God loves you. God has no intent of letting you down. God knows what He's doing. And so let me just tell you, God has purposes. Say, what could the purpose be? I wish I could answer that. He may never tell you. He may never tell me. But I got to tell you, God owes you and I no explanations because He's God. And He knows what He's doing. God has a reason for everything. And because God's always good and God's always right, God knows what He's doing. Trust God. May I say this? I think storms help us to grow our faith in God. Listen, I don't know all the ways God grows our faith, but one of the ways that God grows our faith is through storms. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:38, "Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Here, the Bible is saying the just shall live by faith. And if I'm going to live by faith, there are things that will build my faith. And I want those things to build my faith. I believe the storm of this story that we read where Jesus sent the disciples out on that ship and He comes walking to them on the water, I believe that storm strengthened their faith. I know it strengthened Peter's faith. I mean, the guys in the ship, they were in a storm, but Peter stepped out of the ship. You talk about the strengthening of one's faith. Hey, those of you, you say, I faced a little bit of inconvenience because of the storm. Let me tell you, there's some who have faced great inconvenience. The one who had their faith strengthened the most was Peter. And he's the one that was out of the boat, out on the water. He was facing it all. This is going to sound odd, but to some of you who have lost most, all, your faith can be strengthened better than anybody's. Your faith might be the one God's building in a miraculous, in a big way. Peter went down in history. He's the one that walked on the water. Everybody else was safe, but scared. Y'all listening to me? Safe, scared. Some people faced it heavy. Peter, I'll promise you, he walked away after having taken those steps saying, "Oh, this is... Look what God did. I walked on the water." Yeah. Yeah. See, I believe this. I believe storms strengthen our faith. Storms force our faith to a new level. Burdens cause us to need Him more than ever. Storms should not weaken your faith, but storms should strengthen your faith. If you're in a storm and your faith is weakened, that's your fault. It's not God's. God never intended for your faith to be weakened by a storm. It was always His intent to strengthen you. So, I think God has His purpose for storms. I think storms grow our faith. Did you know that sometimes our storms help us to grow someone else's faith? You say, grow someone else's faith? Sure. Peter stepped out on the boat, and he grew in faith, but I'll promise you, the other disciples grew in faith too. If James were there on that boat, Peter took a couple steps. Jesus grabs Peter. They get back on the ship. They go to shore. I'll bet you James said, "I wish I would have stepped out. Man, I blew my chance. I could have stepped out." I believe had James been in an identical storm and Jesus were out on the water, I think James next time would have said, "My turn, I'm up, my turn." the storm that Peter went through probably strengthened James's faith and probably strengthens John's faith. And every disciple on that ship said, "Did you see that? Did you see that?" Folks, sometimes you and I may go through storms, and the whole intent for God was that He was going to put you through something that would strengthen somebody else's faith. Bible says in Matthew 14:29, He said, "Come," and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I think if you will handle your storm properly, somebody else's faith could be strengthened. You say, whose? Maybe your son's. Maybe your daughter's. Maybe a husband, or a wife, or a grandson, or a granddaughter, a friend, a neighbor. A neighbor watches you go through the storm, and they watch your faith. And they walk away saying, "Wow, their faith was strong through the storm." Someone is either becoming stronger by your example or weaker. But I believe a help that storms bring, it strengthens our faith, but then it may be strengthening somebody else's faith. I think this also, I think that storms can help to purify our lives. They can help purify our lives. The Bible says in Psalm 12:6, the words of the Lord are pure words. Did you know that the Word of God is a pure word and it is to help purify us? Let me tell you something. Storms, I don't know if they work on you like they work on most, but just let a life-threatening situation come upon somebody and all of a sudden you're searching your heart real quick to figure out, am I doing the right thing with my life? Storms have a tendency to cleaning you up a little bit. Hey, look, if you think you're going to die, you'd like to get a few things in order before you meet your maker. Anybody go through a storm and say, "Lord, did you want something? Were you trying to get my attention?" A sickness that lands us in the hospital sure can get our attention, can it? Will you need a storm to straighten up your backslidden mess? Oh, let me warn you, if you are in a mess right now and the storm you just went through didn't straighten you up, I hate to see what's on the horizon. Let me say, number five, our storms can help us. Sometimes, not only could a storm help purify my life, maybe it would come to help purify another's life, somebody else's life. I don't think that you and I can specifically make this call, but could your storm be God getting somebody else's attention? You say, "Well, I don't think that's possible." Didn't God give us Job and his storms to help get our attention? Wasn't Job given as an example of someone that went through storms? Had Job really done anything terribly wrong? No, he was probably one of the purest men on the face of the earth at that time. God said, "No, Job, I'm not upset with you. I want to get somebody else's attention." By the way, God's still using Job to get our attention today. And if God would do that, is it possible you went through a storm because God wanted to get somebody else's attention? Is it possible that God allows a burden or a storm to come so that someone you love may refocus on God? You take the story of the stoning of Stephen. I think Stephen went through a difficulty that got a whole bunch of people's attention. And so, look, I think there are helps. There are things that storms do for us. We get to be a part of God's purpose. It grows our faith. It may grow somebody else's faith. It may purify our lives. God might even bring a storm into our life to purify someone else's life as they look at what we're going through. And that maybe they grasp the fear of God and say, "Boy, I want to get some things right with God." Now, I'll tell you this, and I want to say it to you very gently. I think there are times when storms can be chastisement. That's a fancy Bible word for spanking. We used to call it being taken to the woodshed. Don't have woodsheds anymore. Revelation 3:19, it says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." I think sometimes storms, that they can be a picture of what we call sonship. God spanks His children. And that's a good thing. If I go through a spanking from God, that's Him saying, "That's my boy. I have the right to spank my boy." Now, I don't know when a storm is God spanking someone. Let me tell you this and make sure you get this. And I've been preaching this for years and I'll go to my grave preaching it. I don't think you ought to go around passing judgment on anybody that what they just went through is God's discipline. If I were you, I would check on yourself. It's funny how storms for other people is God disciplining, and a storm that comes your way is just a trial. But let me tell you something. God spanks. Sometimes God spanks a country because they misbehave. But I do know that storms can help us, and though we might not like it, my dad used to talk to me about discipline, and he said, "This is going to help you, son." I fail to see the humor in that to this day. This is going to hurt me more than it hurt you. And I'm thinking, well, bend over and let's just give it a whirl here, buddy. But I'm just telling you that chastisement, it has something to do with purifying and warning and helping. And so there are helps that storms bring our way. We are a part of God's purpose. It grows our faith. It may grow somebody else's faith. It may purify our life. It may purify somebody else's life. It's a proof of sonship where chastisement comes. And folks, and I have to tell you, and I hope somebody here will grab a hold of this and believe it. Storms help to strengthen us. They strengthen us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9, it says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I have to tell you, I think there are some times when we are going through a storm, and here's what happens. We go through a storm, and we realize how weak we are, so we cry out to God, and we run to God, and God said, "You know what? Now that you've cried out to me, you and I will do this together, and we make a majority, and we can handle this together." And you understand then, if you've got God on your side, suddenly your weakness has become strength. And I could illustrate it in a million ways. I can't right now, but let me tell you, storms strengthen our walk with God. Storms can strengthen our courage. Spiritual muscle is not built in the good times. Spiritual muscle is built in the bad times. Spiritual muscle is not built when you're rich. Spiritual muscle is built when you're poor. Spiritual muscle is not built when you're healthy. Spiritual muscle is built when you're unhealthy. You're getting tough. You're getting strong. I think Noah was made because of the threat of a flood. I think Moses was made in the storm of the Egyptian captivity and the storms of the wilderness. So let me tell you something. Let this storm make you. Let it make you into something better for God. Let it make you into a better Christian. Don't lose your faith. Let me tell you this. I also think that storms help to soften us. They help to soften us. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." But notice the word kindness there, tenderhearted. Storms can tenderize the heart. Is there somebody in here? Do you need a storm because you've got a hard, cold heart? Maybe a storm would tenderize you. Is your storm of life tenderizing your heart? Or is the storm of your life tenderizing the heart of someone else? I think storms bring tears. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you wept any tears for anyone? For anyone? God has a way of tenderizing our heart. And I think storms bring a tenderness to us. Hey, Christian, have you lost your compassion? I'll tell you what happens to us. Boy, there's some of you, if I may, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, you're old timers in the Lord. You've been at it a long time. Let me tell you something. Don't you ever lose your tenderness toward God. And don't lose your tenderness toward people. I think storms can push the reset button of our compassion and our love and our tenderness. I said to you earlier, some of you, there are parts of our city you can drive through and it's still the beautiful, gorgeous, green, plush New Bern. I would recommend a couple of you, you need to take a drive and look at some of the parts that are not that way anymore. You need to look at the devastation and the damage. And I wish for somebody you could pull over and weep a tear for somebody that does not have what you have and that has lost so many things. Can you weep for others? Now, if it were your loss, you'd weep. But could you weep over somebody else's loss? We're so self-centered and so self-consumed. I'm okay. I have mine. I've got my stuff. I've got plenty. Everything's secure. What about everybody else? Isn't the Christian life about others? Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, others, Lord, yes, others, that I might be like Thee. Storms soften us. May I say, not only that, storms prepare us. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Storms prepare us. Today's storms prepare us for future storms. Our storm prepares us for someone else's future storms. Storms prepare us for service. Storms prepare us to serve others. Storms prepare. Hey, I think storms prepare us to lead. I happen to believe that David faced a storm in the wilderness one day and fought a bear. He needed to face the storm of that bear, and he needed to face the storm of fighting a lion. You say, why? He was going to fight a Goliath someday, and God used one storm to prepare David for another storm and victory. Storms turn us into builders. Storms turn us into productive people. I wish somebody here would say, you know something? I'll let the storms of life help me to go to a new level, and I'll do more and accomplish more. I'm not going to lie down and whine and crumble. I'm going to get up and I'm going to do something, and I'll rebuild and I'll make it and I'll take it and I'll become stronger and stronger and stronger, and I'll find somebody else and I'll help them and I'll do something for God. Has God tried to get your attention through a storm? I think storms are there to help us. I think they soften us and prepare us. I think they warn us. Let me tell you something. Did you go through a storm and God was trying to get your attention? Was God trying to warn you? I think storms train us. They train us to have compassion. They train us to have love and to be patient and to care. I think storms humble us. Storms can knock us down so our pride does not destroy us. Storms can keep our strength in check. I think Peter was probably humbled. If he stepped out of the boat saying, nah, 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 look at me. Step number one, success. Step number two, success. Step number three, help! Well, I'm sure there was a humbling that took place. I think sometimes storms come to humble us. Has your storm decreased your pride or increased your pride? I think storms prove us. Maybe God wants to see if we can be trusted. Storms can unveil the real us. Has your storm caused you to step up in God's service or step out? I think storms bring salvation. I think people go through storms and then they look to the God of the universe. I think there are a lot of helps. I think there are all sorts of things that God provides as a result of storms. Now, in the next couple of minutes, I'm going to make very quick application. I think God tries to help you and I through storms. I think we can help other people with what I just taught, but I think there are some other practical things that we can do. Let's help people as a result of the storm. You say, what can I do? I've got a few things you can do. Love them. Love them. Love people. Now, I have to tell you something. I'm not your average pastor when it comes to this thing of loving people. See, what you want to do is you want to go find a chair somewhere and sit down and say, oh, I just love everybody. Lovey, 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 lovey. And I say, talk's cheap. put your energy where your mouth is. I think there's more to love than just this squishy emotion. I think love has feet and hands and effort and sacrifice. But love them. Love people. Could I recommend that you be patient with people? Be patient. Be patient in the lines at Walmart. Our lines at Walmart are long before storms. My recommendation to you is this. Stand by the King James Bible. Don't go to Walmart here on Saturday. Y'all know what I mean? And all God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. Be patient. Be patient with each other. Be patient with people. A lot of folks have been through a lot. I want you to be patient. Thirdly, don't judge people. You don't know why somebody did what they did, what they're doing. You just be patient, and I wouldn't be casting judgment on people. Someone had said something that, or somebody is very upset with them about how they had responded to a certain part of the storm. Listen, you don't understand. You don't understand what people are going through. You don't know everything about them, so don't judge. May I recommend that you're gentle? Be gentle with people. Being gentle is not a weakness, it's a strength. God is the epitome of gentleness, but He is the epitome of power. Real gentleness is power under restraint. So be gentle. Then be positive. Be positive with people. Now be wisely positive. You know, there are some people that can go overboard. You have to be wise. Let me tell you this: we've got our bags of M&Ms. They're cute. Somebody can you take these with you when you go today. I want you to grab a bunch of them up. But listen, people need encouragement. They need to see that life goes on. They need to see you smile, but be positive. Next, when you can help financially. You know, look, if you're standing in line and there's somebody there that is very obviously under the gun, and you're standing in line at a restaurant, buy their meal for them. You say, I don't know them. You don't have to know them. You don't have to know them. You can slip a $5 bill in somebody's pocket and say, hey, I just want to help you. When Mrs. Owens and I were out distributing food yesterday, we didn't go where everybody else went. We went places we didn't know a soul. We were walking up to doors, knocking on doors, say, we came to help you. They didn't know me. They don't have to know me. I'd like them to know somebody else, though. I'd like them to know Jesus. But be positive. Help financially. Hey, some people will very humbly say they don't need help. Ask again. People of character most of the time say, I'm fine. I'm fine. If you're from that generation where you've been taught, get her done, man, with help, without help, don't ask for help. So they'll say, I'm fine, I don't need any help. Yeah, they probably do. So they won't let you help today. Show up tomorrow, say, could I help? But try to get in there and help if you can. Figure out a way. If you're lazy and you're looking to be able to ask if you could help, hoping that you can't because you really don't want to help, wrong attitude. Sincerely want to help. Let me go on. Some food can help. A hot meal. You say, I don't know them. Make a hot meal. Just take it by somebody and say, I want to get you some food. Make a difference. These bags of groceries, and folks, I beg of you, in our hallways, in the fellowship hall, you look out here in the foyer area, there's bags of groceries. I would love it if you would take a trip to your car, get four, five of them, six of them, go drive somewhere. And again, all you have to do is look for devastation. You'll see people there. They don't have to know you. You don't have to know them. Take a gallon of water and just give it to them. Say, our church loves you. Jesus loves you. I just want to drop this off to you. Groceries. Hey, laundry supplies will help people. If their clothes went through it, the ones that will try to salvage what they can, sooner or later they're going to have to launder everything. It gets very expensive. Launder things for them. Launder things for them. I'd say, honey, probably for 4 days, our washing machines were running almost 12, 14, 18 hours a day. We were just trying to help. Run errands for them. Help them get cleaning supplies that will sanitize drinking water will help. Pray for them and mean it. Now, if for some reason your health just would not allow you to go out and help, then stay home and pray. But don't pray with the television on. But for some, you need to just get out there and you need to get involved. Listen and care. Some homemade treats, I'll guarantee you. Some of these people out here that are working around the clock and trying to get things put back together, some nice hot chocolate chip cookies and somebody showing up with them, they may make a difference. Walk their dog. There's just so many things that people need. Gift cards, babysit, husband set, get him out of the road for a little while. First aid type things, clothing, diapers, formula, fuel. There's so many things. Now, I am almost sick up to here of watching preachers and churches say, you ought to care, you ought to love everybody. Then everybody goes home and ignores it. They do nothing about the souls of men. They don't do anything about helping people. They don't want to run bus routes. They don't want to go out and go soul winning. They want to feel real good that they go to a church where we talk about the love of Jesus all the time. And then they don't do one single thing about it. It's no wonder churches have such a bad name today. I think we ought to do something about it. I think there are some people that you ought to get out of your comfort zone and go help somebody some way. I believe that there are helps in the storm. I went to help a person from our church. I was very, very impressed. And I went to help them. And they stopped me in my tracks. And to be honest, I'd taken out some money. I was going to hand it to them. And they said, put it away. I don't want it. If God spoke to my heart, I might not physically be able to help someone else this moment. But I want you to take that on my behalf. And I want you to go help somebody else. I thought, just spiritually conscious of what was going on. And it wasn't just all about them at that very moment. Now, I wouldn't have blamed them if they would have taken every penny I was about to give them. They wouldn't have done wrong had they done that. But it was, I wish I were helping somebody else right now. I got some things of my own I must attend to. But use that on my behalf to go help somebody else. That's big time Christianity. That's big stuff. Twin Rivers Baptist Church, let's be different. Let's help people. We're going to have an altar call. If you need the altar, if you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you need to come and pray, man, we've got people in our church that are suffering. Boy, I tell you what, Ruth's house is a mess. The Strouds, under 6-8 foot of water. Dave, Amber Ochoa, Sabrina's house. I mean, we're talking about, we've got 4 or 5 folks that their homes are just destroyed. And you pray for them. Let's do what we can to help each other, and let's go help some people we don't even know. Let's make an impact. Let's make a difference. You say, preacher, we just can't do anything about everybody out there. I know we can't, but we can do something about some. And we'll touch all the ones that we can. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and we'll show you how to be born again. Let the storm bring you to Jesus. Get born again. Hey, Christian, do you need to pray? Do you need to come pray for someone? Maybe you need to come pray about what you could do to help someone. Maybe you could make a difference in someone's life. Maybe you need to come pray about it. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Maybe you need to get some of your tears back. Maybe you ought to care about somebody. Maybe you had a bit of an attitude that you shouldn't have had during the storm. Let the storm grow your faith. Let the storm grow somebody else's faith. Let the storm purify your life. Let the storm purify somebody else's life. Let it strengthen you. Let it soften you. Let it prepare you. Let it humble you. Let it prove you. Let it warn you or train you. And again, I want to give a challenge. When we leave this auditorium full of people, we sit here in comfort, clean, air conditioning. When you leave, please, in the fellowship hall, in the foyer, in the entryway, bag after bag after bag of groceries and supplies. Take them with you. Go drive somewhere. Hey, maybe what a great thing to teach your family. Just walk up to somebody and give them the bags of groceries. There's gallons of water over there. Go grab them. Take them with you. A group this size, we could distribute everything today. Grab those preaching sermons. They're free. Grab the paperwork. Grab the packets of the M&M encouragement sheets and take that with you. Take them by the dozens. Use them. Make a difference. Change lives. Some of you, I think you're very glad you escaped major damage, and I'm glad for you. I wouldn't want anybody to go through that. Brother Jim Dancy and I were talking earlier. God spared some so they could go help the others. I hope the ones that were spared realize why they were spared the trouble. They were spared to be the workforce to reach and help the others. Go ahead and have a seat there if you will.